Thunder Media.
On this edition of Inside Motorsport, we take a deep dive into the GT3 and GT4 categories. We hear from Peter Hackett, Rene Gracie, Liam Talbot, and George Medici, who was debuting the T4 Ford Mustang. It's all coming up today. I hope you'll stay with us.
Welcome to Inside Motorsport. Tony Whitlock. I'm at Phillip Island. It's day one of a three-day meeting here, and I'm with George Medici, and my arms are quite long enough to reach him. Welcome back to Inside Motorsport, George.
Thanks, mate. It's a pleasure to be back.
Indeed. And it's very exciting times because you've got this real trick piece of Mustang here.
It is very exciting. You're right. We've got the first new Mustang GT4 in the Southern Hemisphere. It was a bit of a feat to get it here. We only got it out of customs on Tuesday. Had about 2 days to you know, go over it and make sure it's right. But yeah, it seems to be nice. It seems to be quick. Seems to be reliable so far. So it's a good start.
Now it's the opening round of GT4 in Australia, and it's obviously got a good entry. 18 cars, I think there are.
Yeah, 18 or 19. Yep.
Yeah, and a good spread of makes as well.
Yeah, it's great. You got most of the good GT4 cars here. You know, we don't have any Aston Martins, which I think would be a competitive car, but. You know, the BMWs are here, the Mercedes are here, the McLarens, so yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, okay. Six rounds in the championship this year. So Phillip Island, where's the next one after this?
Next one's at the Bend.
Yep.
And then we go to Queensland for our one and only endurance round. So the sprint rounds are the five of the six, they're 2 1-hour races. And then when we go to Queensland, we've got a 1 hour race to set the grid and then a 3 hour race on the Sunday.
Okay. And that's probably the track that would be least likely to be, given that QR is a track that, well, you know, it's a lot of sameness about it.
Yeah, look, these cars are built for endurance racing, so you know they should be fine to do that sort of time. But yeah, look, I think the category has really taken that big leap, and we're really excited to be a part of it.
You of course have a history in your father as well with Ford for many years.
Yep.
At the dealership.
Yep.
Are you still involved in the car industry?
Yeah, so I'm the dealer principal of our Ford franchise. I represent 9 brands in Port Macquarie, and I've got 120 people working
wow.
for me. So it's a big business, but, oh, at least for me it is. But I'm really proud. But as you say, we do bleed blue, and I'm a really, really proud Ford dealer. And it just makes sense, you know. If it was going to be anything else, it would probably be a Benz, but I couldn't see myself in any of the other cars. I think this one really suits me, suits my experience, my driving style, so I'm really liking it.
Okay, now you did run a Mustang in the 6 hour.
Yeah, a couple. So we built one, the first one, and we won our class with Brody Kostecki and Paul Morris back a few years ago. And then we built a second one. We saw an opportunity with the 10-speed automatic transmission. We're still working through that opportunity. we've got some experience with the Mustang, but this thing's another level again. You know, this is not a production car. This is a baby GT3 car. And everything about it is so nice. It's so nice to work on. And you make a change, you feel it immediately. All of the driver comfort stuff. I mean, I'm 6'6", and I fit in it very comfortably. So all of that side of it is great.
And you're driving?
Yeah, young Ryland Gray.
Right.
Who's son of Jeremy Gray, who's done a lot of national level racing. But Ryland's doing Super 2 with Tickford this year.
Yep.
Went to Bathurst, he's come out of it, the leading rookie. He's doing a fantastic job. And I tell you what, as soon as he jumped in our car, he was very quick. So I'm excited about what the year's, you know, got in store for us. If we're not the best driver pairing, then we're pretty close. And that feels pretty good to me.
And the 1 hour race, did you neatly cut it in half sort of thing, half each sort of thing?
Or? Yeah, there's a pit stop window from 25 to 35 minutes. So you've got a 10-minute window in which to do your stops. And there are time stop from pit entry to pit exit. So you've got plenty of time to do the driver changes. The one thing that in this category, what they're doing to sort of, you know, instead of success ballast, they're doing additional stop time on your next race. So say if you win the race, you get a 15-second time penalty. Second gets 10, third gets 5. And so on and so forth. So, yeah, well, this first race will be a straight fight. We'll see how we go. And then hopefully we'll be putting the maximum success ballast on, or success time on for tomorrow.
Now, one of the things that's interesting about your team is I happen to notice that you've actually lived to the old adage. You bring something old, something new, and something borrowed, something blue. Well, the blue obviously is the Mustang.
Yeah.
The new is obviously the car. And the old is, in fact, Chris O'Toole, who I have not seen back working in a race team for some years.
Yeah.
And great to see him back out and running. The last I spoke to him was just moments after he'd... maybe not moments, but some days after he did himself a large injury on a motorbike.
Yeah, look, Chris has been with us now for a few years, and it's been a real pleasure. He's really rediscovered his love for racing. You know, I think being part of the supercar machine is great, but it takes its toll over time. But he's so immersed in this car. He absolutely loves it, and he's doing a great job. And you know, we'd be I don't know what I'd be doing if I didn't have him. So he's fantastic. You know, his work ethic's tireless, and his knowledge is amazing, and he brings a level of calm to the team that we're very, very happy with.
All right, George. Well, I think I'll be at Taylor Men, so I look forward to seeing you there. But I'll certainly come back and talk to you after tomorrow's adventure.
Sounds good. Thanks, mate.
Thank you. George Medicki, talking on GT Boards. Welcome back to Inside Motorsport. Tony Whitlock. I'm here with Renee Gracie at a Phillip Island GT3 round. And guess what? I think it was a year ago that we first spoke.
Yes.
Maybe not the first time, but
yes,
that was another time.
Yeah. It had been a 12-month cycle since I have been back here, and I'm excited to be back and in a newer, better, bigger car.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. So you won the trophy class driving an older Audi R8.
Mm-hmm.
The new one is faster, grippier and all those things. Tell us about the differences between two cars.
Yeah, so there's about 12 years difference in technology
aero.
If you think about it like that, the car that I was driving last year is sort of 10 to 12 years old in the model and the spec, I guess you could say.
Yep.
And if you compare cars on the road that are 12 years apart, there's obviously a lot of differences in technologies and stuff that are obviously far more advanced in the newer car. So essentially that's what I've done. I've done an upgrade. The aero is just insane. I have never driven a car in my whole motorsport career, even before I obviously took a break, that has this much aero, and it's a very difficult thing to wrap my head around because it goes against anything I've ever learned to drive,
right,
even the car last year. So the car last year just didn't have a lot of aero, and I could drive it more mechanically, and I didn't have to worry about upsetting aero platforms and all this sort of stuff.
Right.
So the aero has been the hugest thing in the technology. So the traction and the ABS and the lateral traction is so advanced. And it's just, it's insane to wrap your head around how it actually works and how it's actually physically so good. So it's been a very big learning curve from last year to this year.
Outside Bathurst, I imagine this would be the favourite track?
Honestly, I feel like I try not to have favourites because I feel like it gets with your head,
yeah,
just like I don't like to have superstitions and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
I really
sure
try not to. But I think to this date...
And you haven't had any children yet, so you've got no favourite children.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it. No kids playing, that's for sure. But I think... Personally, you always like the tracks that you do well at.
Yep.
That's why I try not to have favourite tracks. But I think out of all the tracks that I've raced at so far, I think Phillip Island is just Phillip Island. It's sort of in its own world.
Yep.
I really enjoyed the Adelaide Street Circuit last year. I'm disappointed we don't get to go back, unfortunately. But that's just great event, great crowds, great people, well run, good track. So that sort of ticks all the boxes. And I really do enjoy Sydney Motorsport Park as well. I feel like that's a really fun track.
There you're talking Phillip Island here in particular.
Mm-hmm.
They're both very high-speed tracks.
Yeah.
And have good corners that you really can try the car out.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So that's something that you're enjoying then.
Yeah, and I think it's just learning. It's having a bit of everything and learning yourself what you can do, what you can't do, what the car can do. And it's a really great track for pushing yourself, obviously, because sometimes your brain and your feet don't communicate and you're telling yourself to make sure you're holding the throttle down and don't brake yet, but your foot's thinking something else. So it's a really good, challenging track, Phillip Island. And I think
you go and have an argument with yourself, do you?
Constantly, yeah. Every lap I'm like, don't do it. And that's what's great. You sort of leave here knowing that you've really pushed yourself over the whole weekend and you've done your best. It's not a track that you can't do your best at because it just doesn't reward. You've really got to push hard. So I think with that as a driving aspect, it's really enjoyable. But both here in Sydney, I think that's why I like them both.
Okay, all right. And interestingly, you've chosen a driver's driver in Paul Stokel.
Yes.
So you'd never have driven with him before?
No, I've never driven with him. I have worked for him in the past, or with him, I should say, at some driving events and all of the manufacturer events and the driving stuff that he used to do when I was racing. So I've known of Paul for many years, but never driven with him or had any racing experience with him. It's always just been purely work. So this is my first time obviously working with him from a racing perspective. I knew that he was good. Obviously, I've heard stories about him. Everyone's in awe of him sometimes. I think when you say to people, I'm racing with Paul Stokel, and they turn around and go, the Paul Stokel. Obviously, I sort of know limited things. I think he's got more experience than what I was probably appreciative of. And I think working with him on this level is going to make me a much better driver, and I'm very excited. I'm just so very grateful that he wanted to take the opportunity to come on board with me. I always laugh. I said, I bet you didn't see this in your motorsport future, did you, racing with me? But he seems to be on board, and he's really keen to do well, and obviously to help me in the many years experience that he has. He wants to sort of pass that along, and he's really good with coaching and training young upcoming drivers, even though I'm not young anymore, but he likes to hand down.
Relatively speaking,
okay? I'm not young, but yeah. So he takes it with pride, I think, and I'm very excited to work alongside him this year.
Yeah. I must just tell you a very quick story about Alan Moffat and Pete Gagan. Mm. Names I know that you never have been. But so one time that Pete Gagan's asked at Bathurst by somebody, he says, what's it like with sharing with Alan Moffat?
Mm.
And Pete, who had a dreadful stutter, said, the good thing is when he gets out, I get in. So, you know, while you and Paul sharing a car, you don't actually ever drive together.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've sat through some debriefs and briefings and all those sort of things. And you finding that he's leading you in a direction on the car setup and things like that?
Definitely. He's just got so much experience, and he's just got a real racer brain. And it's obviously something I don't have the experience. He's got more experience in cars for longer than I've been alive, essentially. So it's he's got that next level thinking, and he's got the experience. And he thinks outside the box almost. I'm sort of focusing on myself, and I miss other things where he's picking up on other things. So just seeing him work and seeing him in action is definitely, it's an elite level for sure, and it's nothing like I've ever worked with, and I'm very grateful.
Now, you have two qualifying sessions.
Yes.
And the great thing is GT racing as a whole, because at the moment GT4s are out there doing their two qualifying sessions.
Yes.
And it's fantastic to see that category going so well.
Mm.
When you came back, I mean, obviously there were some connections that you had with MPC that led to.
Yes.
Putting the program together, was this largely initiated by you?
Yes, it was my stubbornness and not being liked, told no, that led me to it. Honestly, my motorsport journey started back in 2021 when I wanted to re-enter. Yeah. It just took until 2023 to finally have an opportunity. Someone finally opened a door, so, you know, a category finally wanted me. Someone would finally run me. I finally got a sponsor, so people took me more seriously. It just took that long for it to actually happen, but I really never gave up on it since when I initiated it all back in 2021 is when the burning desire came back, when I really wanted to do it, and I finally just kept chipping away at it, and we got there in the end, and now I'm back for year two.
Okay, and six rounds?
Mm-hmm.
And Paul for the lot?
Yes, for the lot,
wonderful.
For everyone, yep.
And tell me, as part of this, GT3 is growing. Mm-hmm. Are they going to have the same sort of fields all year, do you think?
I think it will be steady. I think some will come to some rounds, some will go to others. We do have an enduro at City Motorsport Park this year, which I think is about a 4-hour endurance race, so I think that'll attract a few people.
Yep.
I think some locals might come to some, not others, but I think the field is pretty strong, and I think no one wants to miss out on the opportunity to race. And I think while there might be some opportunities for some people to come, I do know that there are some guys overseas at the moment racing and other things, etc. So I think it'll be pretty steady, but there'll be some that'll come along the way, and I think this will be a category that will grow. And I think from where it was last year to where it is this year, if that's not an indication of the direction it's going, I don't know what is.
And you'd have to say that the Stephen Rattel organisation obviously is having an impact in the way in which both GT3 and GT4 have got, you know, good sized field, 19 cars. I mean, there are a lot of categories here would love to have 19 cars.
Yep.
Anyway.
You can see it in the background, the passion, the drive, the motivation for the guys in the background running these categories to really want it to go well, and they really want it to be like nothing else that anyone's ever seen in the motorsport community before. And I think giving its infancy of where we're at, I think it's really in the right direction to definitely be able to get there.
Okay, well, Renee Gracie, thank you very much.
No worries.
Glad to talk to you again.
Good to see you.
And I don't know when next time I'll be, maybe Tail and Bend, I don't know yet, but I'll work that out. I'm off to New Zealand for the Taupo V8 races.
Have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Enjoy.
I lived in New Zealand back as a kid. First went to Taupo in 1956.
Yeah, wow, okay. So it's going to be nice and cold there for you, so you're going to have to take your jackets. Yeah. You might be used to it if you've lived there.
Yeah. I think so. But thank you again, Renee Gracie. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to Inside Motorsport. Tony Whitlock, I'm here at Phillip Island. We've just had the first of the GT3 races this weekend, and I'm with Brenton Grove, and great to see GT3 really resurging.
Yeah, it is. SRO do a great job. They do a great job in Europe, and it brought a lot of that standard to Australia as well. So we're really excited to be here. They're putting on a good show, and I think over the year it's going to get bigger and bigger as more people see the level it's at now. Yeah. And then into next year, I think it'll be quite exciting.
I think one of the things that's really exciting about this category is the fact that there's the GT4s here as well, because that's obviously a whole different financial input to get into that category. But for you guys here at Grove Racing, it's a very different world because no longer are you horse racing. You're now in AMG.
Yeah, it is a difference. Look, we're still GT3 racing, so the essence is the same. But having a Mercedes versus a Porsche is very different. It's for both Steve and I, it's much nicer to drive. It's much easier to drive. And we're having a lot of fun because we're a lot more competitive than what we were in the Porsche. And we don't have to take as much risk as what we did in the Porsche. I mean, I know we had a few moments today, but that shows that we're quite close to the limit rather than driving to what the car's allowing us to do.
You must be rather excited about the fact that your team is heading off to New Zealand. You'll obviously be there. That's your father. He's not well, you said.
Yeah, he's just done well for at the moment. He potentially will be back in the car tomorrow. If not, he'll be in New Zealand. So just a short-term illness.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm just delighted to see I was just chatting to Peter Hackett about Pro Car Days. You were at school then, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yes. Yeah, probably. wonderful to see GT3 getting the run it is, because the category is a tremendous category. With so many different makes there, it's just something that, you know, is really good to see again.
Yeah, I think people probably don't realise how many GT3 cars there are in Australia of various ages. So
yeah.
There's a very large pool of GT3 cars, and a lot of them are sitting dormant in a shed somewhere. So if we can show people that it's a fun, easy series to come to, the driving standards are safe, it's very professional, and you don't have to have a massive budget to win, then I think it's great for the series. So having a Pro-Am and an Am category means you can start wherever you want to, and then obviously the GT4 side allows people to step through the ranks before they get the GT3 cars. So it's really exciting for Australian motorsport. I think GT3's had a void in Australia over the last 2 or 3 years, and it's been a shame because it's such a cool series. So yeah, we're really excited to be here and hope it's bigger and better next year.
All right, well, Grove Racing, we look forward to seeing you, Brent, and the team performing around the streets of, maybe not the streets, but the track at Taupo.
Yes, thank you very much.
Welcome back to Inside Motorsport. Tony Whitlock, I'm here with Peter Hackett, a.k.a. Hollywood, as he's known. But, you know, there's no point not bringing it up because it's there. And it's the first of the 2024 GT3 Championship. 2024. Did I say 23? Did I? Oh, right. 2024 Championship. And an exciting race. Unfortunately, ended with a bit of a problem for one competitor, but fortunately he got out of the car okay. But Peter, it's pretty exciting because the category is really coming alive again.
Yeah, I've been part of this in and out since probably 2006 when we did the Pro Car Days. You know, that was the first evolution of Australian GT. And, you know, to look at the number of gold, silver and bronze drivers competing in various Pro and Pro-Am cars or Am cars is amazing. There's, I think you could easily say, 6 or 7 really top-line drivers. If Mostert's here, and obviously Declan's here, and Jackson Evans is here. And, you know, these are household names that are now starting to see real value in GT racing.
Yep.
They can make some pocket money along the way, which is really great for the professional drivers. And it adds to the spectacle that we've just seen in race one. You know, even at the end then when the pros were all in the car and the challenging conditions, there was some great racing.
Yeah, indeed. And, of course, let's go back and trace your history.
You might not have enough time.
I'm sure we have. So I first knew of you in F3, in fact, Which was 2001, did you say?
Yeah, yeah. So I did my first F3 race in 2000. So really my career started with the old Peter Finlayson driving school at Oran Park, you know. Peter Finlay. And he was part of the Jim Russell Racing Driver School, and I paid my money out of school and did his little...
You're from Sydney originally?
Yeah, yeah. Did a Formula Ford program there, and he said, hey, you can do all right at this. Why don't you go and have a crack in the UK at Donington Park? They have this one-week international racing school. And I remember I sold everything that I had. I sold my golf clubs. I sold my car. I packed my helmet, and I'm like, I'm going to go and be a race driver. And turned up at Heathrow Airport, had no idea where I was going or what I was going to do, and found a friendly English person that put me on the right train to Loughborough, which I called Luga Baruga, straight up to Castle Donington. Turned up with my helmet, literally. I was there to stay for 1 week. And at the end of this week, and you're coached by guys like Tommy Erdos, who raced at Le Mans, Jamie Campbell-Walter, who was the Lister factory driver, you know, and I could rattle off all these names, and these were the instructors. And it's a 1 week intensive racing driver school where you learn heel and toe and all of that sort of stuff. And at the end of that week, you do a race, and it's your first ever sanctioned race at Donington Park. And I'll never forget it. I went out there and I lapped the field up until P2 and got out of the car, and John Kirkpatrick afterwards and all the guys were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm flying home. It's Sunday. We've just finished a race. I'm due to fly out tomorrow back to Australia. And they said, can you stay? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why? And they said, well, we've not seen what you've just done. Every month we have a returnees race. And at the end of the year, we have a world scholarship sponsored by General Motors in the Vauxhall Junior Championship.
Yep.
And we think you should stay. So I said, I didn't have any money to pay for anything. And they said, well, we'll train you as an instructor at Donington Park in the Jim Russell way. You can stay at the marketing director's house in the hallway or in his spare bedroom. We can't pay you cash because you don't have a visa, but at £100 a day for the work that you do, this will go into a kitty, and you can pay for your returnee racing every month until the end of the year. And the amount of work we give you and the amount of training we do, if you can afford to live, you can stay here. So I ended up doing the World Scholarship and I won it, which gave me a seat in the Vauxhall Junior Championship in the UK.
It's Formula Vauxhall.
Formula Vauxhall Junior. So yeah. It's like a Formula Ford.
Yep.
In the BTCC, in the highest... In the highlights of the BTCC.
Big crowds.
The guy that came second was Matthias Ekström.
Oh, wow.
So I beat Matthias to the Jim Russell World Scholarship. Yeah. So did as much as I could in Europe. Raced Vauxhall Astras and Formula Vauxhall, which was like a Atlantic or Formula 2000 sort of thing. And basically ran out of money, as a lot of Aussies do when they go overseas, and came back to Australia. Managed to do one race in 2000 in Formula 3 at Oran Park, which I won, and Paul Stevenson won that year. And then the next year, well, that was when I met Betty Klemenko from Erebus.
At Oran Park?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, slightly after that. That was as a result of what I did at Oran Park. I then met Betty and said, this is what I want to do. I met her at a Porsche event on the Gold Coast. And 2001... we basically said, let's do the championship. And she said, what happens if you do well in the championship? I said, then we go to Macau. She said, what happens if you do well at Macau? I said, then we go to Formula 3000. She said, what happens if you go well in 3000? I said, well, then we try and go to Formula 1. She said, okay, let's start. Here's Formula 3. We won Formula 3. And she said, let's go to Macau. So I drove with Carlin in 2001 alongside Takuma Sato and Anthony Davidson.
Yeah.
Extraordinary experience. Anthony Davidson broke his neck in practice one or practice two at Hospital Bend at the top of the hill. So he was out for the weekend. Taku was the number one driver in the world for Formula 3 at that point. He went on and dominated every session.
Can I just go back, take a step back. What were you doing before you said, I'm going to England, sort of thing?
Nothing.
What were you doing? Come on.
No, I'd done a little bit of go-karting. I'd done some motocross. We didn't have enough money.
Working?
No, straight out of school.
So, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I'd done some club stuff with my dad.
I mean, you're actually reading this thing saying follow your dreams, aren't you?
Yeah. So, but dad had a club car. My father was a Qantas flight engineer, so never had enough money to spend $100,000 a year on go-karting. But we had a Datsun 1600, and we had a Swiss Huttless go-kart, and we had a couple of motorbikes. Just engines were part of our family, and racing...
Growing up in where? What suburb?
In the Southern Shire. So I'm originally from the Shire.
Cronulla?
Oyster Bay is the place.
Yeah, I know the place.
I went to Gaimere High School.
Yeah.
My mum was a teacher, dad was a pilot, and, you know, that's kind of...
Brothers and sisters?
I got one younger brother who's a mechanic.
Still lives in Sydney?
Yeah, he was in the Shire until recently. He escaped as well. He's got acreage and dirt bikes and stuff with his daughters out at out at the Oaks now. So, yeah, literally follow your dreams.
Well, because, you know, I mean, I've known of you for 20-something years. I mean, and I think we probably first met in Pro Car days.
Yeah.
I constantly sort of make references to people about Ross Palmer and what a great man he was.
Pioneer.
Yeah, yeah, just did stuff that no one else did. And the fact that there are still Utes racing and there's still GTs racing and all these things, you can lay at his feet and say, that was the man who came up with it.
Yes.
And a great, great guy. And he obviously had people like Craig Denyer and other people around that actually then took in his wishes and desires and made it work.
Yep.
So you then, F3...
Formula 4000. Then I won Formula 4000 driving with Graham Watson. In the same year that I was doing Pro Car with the Lamborghini Team Australia.
Gotcha.
So originally my transition from open wheelers, and after Macau, I actually got a test with Minardi Jr. in Formula 3000, and I moved to Europe to race 3000 based in Prague for a year.
Oh.
Betty was paying the second half of the budget, and the guy who was doing the first half did a runner. So we came back with our tail between our legs a little bit from International 3000. So. Mm. We were there.
Who were some of the guys in 3000?
Thomas Enger was there at the time. I was driving for Charus Racing, which is still around.
In GT racing.
Yeah,
now.
And they're also in Formula 2 for a while, yeah. Formula 3 for a while. So I lived in Barrandov in Prague, ready to do 3000. And fortunately or unfortunately, Daniel Klemenko was managing me. The unfortunate part was that, or fortunate part was that, you know, the way that we'd structured the payments was that they'd be in the second half of the year. So it was forcing Daniel and I, who was looking after me, to go and find some commercial sponsorship as well. But we came back to Australia, and that's where Lamborghini Australia said to us, hey, look, Paul Stokel's at the front of the championship. We kind of need a rear gunner for him, to be honest. Brocky's in the Monaro. Nathan Pretty's in the Monaro. John Bauer's flying, and we need someone to help take some points away from people. So they got a second Diablo GTR. They threw me in at the Gold Coast for the first race in the Diablo GTR.
And that's the Surface Paradise track.
Yep. And we managed to do the job that we needed to do. And you know, the rest is a solid transition into sports cars. And I really enjoyed my time with Lamborghini. Sorry, I just got a message from Jamie Winkup. No. It's kind of bizarre being at Triple Eight like that. So we got a... transition across to Lamborghini, and I really enjoyed my time there, because then we did the 24-hour race in 06, 07, yep. Something like that, with Alan Simonson, Paul Stokel, Luca Yuldin and myself.
Yep.
We were a long way up the field and had a issue in the middle of the night that we finished P6 or P7 or whatever it was. And, you know, Betty was always part of that journey, and then we got into the Lamborghini Gallardo GT3 at the end of the 2010, something like that, 2009-10. And we were in that crash at Sandown where Max Twigg ended up on my roof. I don't know if you remember that in the Gallardo.
Yes,
and we were about to replace that car. And at that point in time, I'd been working for nearly 10 years with AMG as their driving instructor, just one of the guys looking after the show. And at this point in time, the SLS GT3 was released. And I said to Betty, hey, let's hold off on getting another Lambo. Let's try and get into brand specific stuff. And in 2010-11, we got the SLS GT3. And since then, once Mercedes-Benz was back in customer racing, we were part of that family.
Yeah, indeed. And that's, in fact, largely where you're known for in this time. And obviously, you were talking before about the three parts to your job as such, which encompasses both performance and driver training and things like that. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. One of the things that I learned when I went to Europe in the late 90s was to become an instructor. There was a job that could pay you to teach people how to drive. And when I came back to Australia, I worked for Russell White, actually, who's now heavily involved with road safety. And he was looking after the Mercedes-Benz program. He moved on to Holden, and essentially I was the next in line because I had the most experience working with Mercedes-Benz vehicles in Europe. And they said, can you start running our driver training program? And in the beginning, it was 20 days a year or something with 10 C-180s. That's all we had. And it was a safe road safety-based program. It was a really lovely program that Frank Gardner was heavily involved in. And it's evolved. You know, just before COVID, we were up over 200 days a year for nearly 20,000 people throughout Asia. So my role is to design and implement training programs on behalf of Mercedes-Benz. But then we have a performance program, very similar to what most people would know as the Porsche driving experience on the Gold Coast or what Audi does, we do for AMG. And my role is technically now chief instructor for Mercedes-AMG for Southeast Asia.
Okay, wow. Okay, now this program here, which now 888 are running the car for you, which obviously must be a, really not a dream, but certainly, you know, a goal sort of thing, because, you know, premium race team in Australia, and they have certainly the credentials and the skills to do it. So that must be quite exciting, the fact to be driving there.
Yeah, you know, I, to be honest, after I drove with them once before at Bathurst with Prince Jeffrey in 2020, and I crashed. And I never thought I'd get a call up. And, you know, I must have done something all right that weekend to be given a second opportunity. It's not something that Roland Day and 888 and Jamie Winkup do very often. So, you know, really, I was quite down on myself after that, to be perfectly honest, because it was a an honest mistake. I'm not really known for crashing cars, and it happened in the race when we were trying to fight for the lead with Brenton. So, you know, it's like a resurrection in many ways. This is an extraordinary opportunity. There's a couple of parts to this. The first one is, you know, I'm a bronze now. I used to be that gold or silver and the guy that had to win the races. Now I'm not that. So that's a nice change in position and a change in responsibility. And Declan, he's super fast. I got to tell you, you know, I've been involved with Jordan Love and Jaden Ojeda and all these other guys, but Declan definitely has, for someone that had such a hard time in supercars, like he got belted around
a little bit.
He got in this car, and I can tell you he's super fast. So, you know, I'm excited to be able to teach him about aero cars and to educate him about, you know, the behind the scenes side of things that the young guys don't necessarily know when it comes to being a manufacturer based person, when it comes to safety and some of the off camera stuff and the on camera stuff, and then some of the feel stuff. I mean, he's definitely got me in the high speed entry corners, which I'll work on. I haven't been in a car for 2 years, but there's a couple of corners I got him as well, and he's like, how are you doing that? Yeah. So I think together we'll make a really strong team. My experience will, I think, bring validation to him where I might be able to explain something in a different manner that the engineers can get a hold of, and he'll be able to set a data that I just need to man up for. So we're going to be there. Our goal this weekend was top five. We were caught out in qualifying with the red flag situation, which was okay. We just raced then to P5 with penalties. We should have been P4. Some communication issues between race control with the penalties that happened with the overtaking didn't give us what we should have had, so technically we should have been P4, and we're right in the window.
All right, well, Peter, I'm sure our conversation will continue at some stage.
Anytime you want, I love it.
You've carved yourself a wonderful career.
Thank you.
Can I ask how old you are?
Yes, this is.
I can ask you, but you won't answer.
It's on the internet, somewhere between 42 and 52. But when you turn 50, you end up going to bronze.
Oh,
so now that I'm a bronze,
well, you certainly look fitter, and you know, as a 73-year-old, you certainly don't look in that.
I'm not quite 73.
No, but I'm 73, and
you don't look it either.
Yeah, well, Peter, thank you very much for your time. And I hope that I'll be at more rounds of GT3 this year than I've been in recent times. I certainly look back very fondly at that pro car time and wish, and now it's happened, that the category has been revitalised and certainly looks to be. And particularly so the fact that GT4s, because that, you know, there is a different, you know, financial input needed for there.
There's, you know, I know we've got to go, but the reality is that there's a very real argument for what is now supercars to the next evolution to be GT cars, and then have an A and a B grade like they do in NASCAR, and then everybody can race. So, you know, it's been a great chat.
Indeed. Peter Hackett, thank you so much for joining us on Inside Motorsport again. Welcome back to Inside Motorsport. Tony Whitlock, it's just after race one of the GT3 Championship of 2024, and I'm with Liam Talbot, a man who we've known each other for about 8-9 years, who I first met in Monza in 2015 when you were in a Ferrari again.
Ah, deja vu, Tony.
Absolutely. So here we are, and you and Chaz have won the first race with your teammates, Jackson Evans and
Elliot Schutz,
in the second of the cars, coming in second.
Amazing. So, amazing debut for the Ferrari and a brand new race team as well. So.
And a brand new year, because SRO have now stepped into the breach in Australia, running both GT3 and GT4. And the wonderful thing is, and you get the feeling around the paddock, is there's a lot more feeling that, you know, GD will be here for quite some time to come.
Absolutely, it instills confidence. In the past, you didn't know where you stood. If there were decisions to be made, sometimes they weren't the correct one. Hey, we all make mistakes, but it instills more confidence with the SRO 100% ownership. And as we've seen already, like, there's a different level and an exciting level to be part of.
Yeah, now Ben McMillan has got his family, got a history in motorsport in Australia through his father, John. And he obviously is leading the organisation in Australia now. You're committed for the whole of the series this year, as is Arise, obviously, with two cars. It's a vast undertaking, and people don't know anything about Arise Racing, don't know the brand at all.
I didn't either. I mean, I'd heard of Arise with Radicals, so quite a different step up from championships and the cars, but... yeah, we've assembled a new team, sourced two brand new cars from the factory. So that was a big undertaking in itself, trying to get an allocation. Everyone wants a Ferrari race car. And yeah, finally got it. It was a bit delayed. We did some testing, so trying to work out what does what. And yeah, it's a big undertaking because all these other teams know their car, know the setup. We're flying blind, but... you know, the greater the challenge, the harder we try.
Yeah, indeed. Now, you've been racing in GTs for quite a few years now. It's obviously a category that appeals to you.
For me, it's exciting. I mean, the cars, there's a point of difference on the... they're not just the same exact spec. I mean, it's cool. I've enjoyed the One Make series and championships, but there's a point of difference. Obviously, the balance of performance can be a bit controversial at times. Sometimes, you know, you're just not going to have a good weekend, which is a bit frustrating, but... every weekend you've got to maximise what you got. I think the Ferrari is an exciting brand, and for it to be back in Australia and to be part of the team is a big humbling experience for myself.
Now, that was a rather terrifying race with, unfortunately, wasn't red flagged, actually finished under a safety car though, with Brendan Schutz, is it?
I'm not sure who crashed.
Yeah,
but,
Schutz. Yeah, Mercedes.
Very scary. I mean, wish him a speedy recovery. Yeah. And you don't want to win a race.
He got out of the car okay by himself.
I believe so.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want to win a race under a safety car. You'd rather race to the flag. But
I was talking with Jackson Evans just then. The track was fairly skittish, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, in my stint at the end, I was sort of calling for the wet tyres. It wasn't to that point, but I just wanted the team to be aware and to be ready. I'm sure they were anyway.
Yeah.
But they're sort of saying to me, it's not ready, and I'm like, I understand, but be ready, sort of thing. So
okay.
It was starting to get a little sketchy for us in the last stint, and then you hand it over to...
Were instructions coming down the line saying, hold station, or anything like that yet?
No. It was, you know, you're racing for position, teammate or no teammate. Obviously, you want to be a bit kinder and with your teammate, but... yeah, if there's a pace advantage or not, you utilise what you got. So,
indeed.
Regardless of the person, you've got to be fully committed to the overtake. You can't be half-assed.
Brendan Leach, of course, unfortunately, he did on the road finish second, but got a 5-second penalty for passing under a yellow.
Yeah, it was close from what I believe, but you know, he had mega pace and super impressive. It's just cool in GT racing. Like Brendan Grove had a good quali, sort of came from nowhere and qualified well, and it's cool to see people, these non-household names becoming superstars and doing like really good jobs behind the wheel, and it's exciting seeing what is possible.
All right, Liam Talbot, thank you very much for talking to us again on Inside Motorsport. We look forward to catching up with you again, tail and mend or beyond.
Thanks, Tony.
That's all we've got time for this week on Inside Motorsport. Until next time round, keep smiling and bye for now.
Inside Motorsport is produced by Thunder Media for the Community Radio Network.